And I like sticking with the good news. Does anybody here ever hear somebody say to them, you are going to have to make the most of it? Hands up, who's had that said to them? Well, I know I have. You're going to have to make the most of it. Yeah. And then my mum used to go on, that's how it is. It's not going to change and nothing is going to alter. Right. And I'm sure you and I have heard those words quite a few times in our life. I was only thinking about Jeremiah because the Bible fell open at Jeremiah. And I've never really understood Jeremiah. I feel sorry for him. He was knocked about a lot, you know, and people tried to kill him. And you think, what am I doing this job for? Only to be killed. Many have read this story about Jeremiah in Scripture. First of all, he had the endurance in his soul. And I like him for that. He never gave up. And I'm saying this morning to me as well as you, never give up. Never give up. Never join the crew that says, I think I'm a bit too old now. And you know I'm not well, so I can't come. Can't do it. There are many, I saw yesterday and the day before, Hilda Rolfe. I don't know how old Hilda is, but she seems to have been there forever. 93, about 93. And she's there sitting next door but two to me, singing her head off. Now she's got a cane. And I was speaking to her from my bedroom door and she said, who are you? She, I said, I can't see you. I said, it's Jean Tavener. Oh, right. So I don't know what that meant. But afterwards we had a good chat because that lady, quite a long time ago, well, no, 2016, when I was in hospital, she sent me two, and this is all, we can all do this. She sent me two letters of encouragement to grow in Jesus. She never said, I'm sorry what you've had done. And that will mean, you know, people have a raft of things that you can't do. You can't do that. I can do anything as long as I'm leaned on something. You had that job, didn't you? Paul had the job yesterday and Friday of hauling me up from all the chairs because there were no arms. Oh, you know, it was quite nice. So you see, we've got to be in, we're in this job. You have been in this job. And it's for commitment. It's a long job because we've just been singing. I will stand in glory. One day I will stand in glory. And we were asked, I don't know how many times yesterday, do we believe it? Maybe we're not preaching on it enough. Maybe we just want people to know nice things. Well, this guy wasn't in a nice place. It's a nice time. This poor guy, he had to watch his back everywhere, every time of the day. You know, that caring and willingness, and I like what I think he was stubborn. Now I'm stubborn. And I fly off the handle, as Dorothy knows, especially when I'm driving. It's called a vent of feelings. I'm pretty nice, you know. But I refuse to give up. We had a lady at church that couldn't, She was bedridden at the end. And she wanted to do something for the church because we wanted some chairs. We were fed up of sitting on benches. And she started knitting. No, knitting, yes, that's it. Knitting covers for coat hangers while she was in bed. Now, that's the kind of person I admire. I can't do anything but lie here, but what can I do? And it's that commitment. And I think for the next month, we'll all be learning about commitment and membership and that to be together. Jeremiah, perhaps you, me, are people who stick with the task that God has given us against all odds. But you're still here. Many of us cannot do what we were physically able to do years ago. But there will always be something, absolutely something, we can and are able to do for the Lord in the furtherance of his kingdom. Even in our messages that were given to us this weekend, you know, if we thought we were losing sheep, there's a lot of other churches are losing sheep in churches. And we need to pray not just for us, but for the wider Christian fellowships throughout the land. There'll always be something that we can do. Can we remember what Derek said last week?
Listen.
Yes. I didn't even need to go to sleep in between then. I'm so glad. Aren't you glad, Derek? Hey. And there's a clue of this. And this is why I've been writing and scribbling down a few notes. In this piece of scripture, verse 19, God says to the exiles, "For you have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, words that I sent to them again and again by my servants the prophets, and you exiles have not listened either, declares the Lord." For they have not listened. "You have not listened to my words," God said. You know, these exiles in Babylon aren't the only ones, are they? Sometimes we forget to listen as well. Give God a chance for us to hear what he has to say to each of us. Now, I'm going to say this in all kindness. But sometimes we're too busy with our prayer list. We stop after we've done this list and then carry on. And we don't know what God's going to do about things, and we're not listening to what's going to happen next. Give God a chance to speak. I mean, it sounds incredible. Why should we not listen? We're for Almighty God. We always say up there, don't we? Because we don't want to say down there. Almighty God waiting to speak to me and you. And don't let anybody say he doesn't. There's too much evidence throughout this world that he does. In Psalm 139, because you know we are very valued above everybody else, anyone else we are valued. All the nature of the, you know, all the animals and the birds and the fishes, we are the numero uno in God's kingdom. And he wants us to act as numero uno. And he knows that he planned our lives while, if you like it, our bodies were still being formed. I found that incredible. And one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 139, and part of it says this. And it struck me again. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I love these words, fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, I know we don't feel like that first thing in the morning when the alarm clock goes and you've got to get out of bed. I mean, if you're like me, first of all, you've got to try and get out of bed and make sure you put your leg on before you step out of bed. So there's a lot of things you have to remember. I know you've all got to remember things, but it becomes fun. Let it be fun. Remember what God has done and what he's doing. He says here, your works are wonderful. I know full well. I mean, they're thinking of something now. I've been reading it in the paper, from yesterday's paper, about fingerprints. And it says, I didn't know that fingerprints could be counterfeited, but apparently they can. And crooks are getting away with it. I didn't know, what was the other thing? I didn't know that there was something else as well. There was something else that we thought they couldn't, you know. Oh, I know, your eyes. You know, when you go to these things now and you have to put your eyes there and it says who you are and the door opens. But they can do that. They can do it with contact lenses. But one thing they can't do, and this is God's numero uno, it's called the vein plan. And it's something inside you that nobody but God can make again. Isn't that wonderful? I think it's marvelous. It says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes were over my unformed body. Now I love this bit. All the days ordained for me and you, me, all our days, listen to this, were written in your book before one of them came to be. We're in God's book. Isn't that wonderful? You know, we shouldn't be skipping home. I'll try, but we'll skip home today. Let's give God the chance. So that we can say with a full heart, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. Then let us be quiet and still and peaceful and listen. Jeremiah must have done a lot of this because God's Spirit moved him to write two books in the Old Testament, Jeremiah and Lamentations. And Jeremiah was a very sorrowful fellow, especially for the fallen condition of Judah. But it seems that the title with him was the Weeping Prophet. He would, if you like, he would have to write his book, Jeremiah, again. He wrote it twice because King Jehoiakim, this is the king who's now in exile, this man destroyed his book and he had to write it again. Jeremiah depended totally on God alone. So he developed endurance. This is something that we need to have. Endurance. Depending on God totally. Be faithful to him. Speaking out for God. And he spoke for many people and he got in a heap of trouble. There was perhaps one highlight in his life. There was a spiritual awakening in his country during the reign of good King Josiah. You know, Jeremiah would watch king after king after king ignore the Lord and ignore the Lord's warnings and lead the people away from Almighty God. And there's a thought that's just struck me about king after king after king. In a few weeks, I do hope you're with me, we'll be celebrating the Queen's Platinum Jubilee. And she is a queen who's faithful to God. She is faithful to us. What did she say? Whether my life be long or short, I'm going to serve you. Isn't that wonderful? In the early 20s, I mean, she didn't know she was going to live till 96. But I hope she lives till 106 and a bit further on than that. She's wonderful. But when God spoke, she answered. Last week was a reminder to give God a chance for us to listen to what he wants us to hear. Sadly, as we know in the scripture, it is God who will not listen. Now, this God's not going to listen at times. It says in Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 10, they have refused to listen to me. And it follows, pray no more for them, Jeremiah. Do not weep for them. Do not pray for them, for I will not listen to them when they cry out to me in distress. It's ended, as we know, with the Babylonians conquering God's people and taking them all off into exile. We must ask the question, why, Lord? Well, God answers that too. He says, look now at Judah. You have as many gods as you have towns. That's sad, isn't it? It might not be gods, you know, these idols and things. It might be things. It might be what we have. It might be our family. But we're not going to come because of. And he goes on to say, you have many altars of shame. Altars for burning incense to your god Baal. There are as many as the streets in Jerusalem. There would be no hope for the people of God. There would be a roundup of top people. The king would go, the queen would go, all the courtiers, all the prophets, all those that were big, you know, like governments, officials. And then it carries on to say, we'll have the artisans. We'll have the people who can do jobs. We'll have people that can help us. Anybody that is weak, anybody that is old, anybody that is too young to do anything, leave behind. They can do for themselves. And that's how it was. So it's a bit, you know, when you think about it, it's a bit sad at this point. And in chapter 28, another prophet pops up called Hananiah. He's speaking on behalf of God, says. He promises that they mustn't worry. There's only going to be there 2 years. Don't worry, Judah. You'll soon be home. This man was a liar. Jeremiah writes a letter to him and to the people. And he entrusts it to one of the priests that's been captured to go up into exile. What did the letter say? Build houses, you might as well. If you want somebody wants to get married, let them get married. It's because you're going to be in for the long haul. And God says, one of the things I know, he says, you're not going to be there for 2 years, you're going to be there for 70. Well, that was a blow to everybody. And he said, this is God's plan. Oh, God is still there. To all this, no matter what you are going through, and I may go through, God is still there. Never forget that. I know you're with me, Lord. God says, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, I will listen. Now God has changed his tune. He hasn't really, because they weren't listening anyway. But there'll be a time when they'll be on their knees wanting to listen to him more than ever. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And then Ira caught up with, if you like, good news. We all like good news, even when it's not true. But this was true. The 70 years was true. It was liked by the majority when it was just 2 years. But it was a false hope. But I love that few words where God speaks and he says, "For I know the plans I have for you." Isn't that amazing? I mean, not only are we fearfully and wonderfully made, but now he's got plans for us. Just have to listen. These people were in a difficult place at a difficult time, and God is saying, "Don't despair. My presence is with you." Do we believe that in this upside down world that we're in now? Right now, this minute, this world is really turned upside down. And we need to pray for whoever speaks, especially when they're speaking non-peace. A few weeks ago, we remembered God's beloved Son paying the ultimate price for everyone. And that gets me. He died for everyone, whether they liked him or not, whether they knew who he was or not, whether they knew what country he came from. But he died for them. Everybody out there that's racing past this door this morning in cars, on bikes, and everything else that moves, with the dogs and the walking and everything. He died for them. Let's not forget that. It's just that they haven't heard yet. And it's our job to tell them. You know, this marvellous letter about God's people, they're given an instruction. It says, "Also see the peace and prosperity of the city where you..." It's like saying, we've been... Dare I say this? It's like saying England's been captured and we're all carted off 70-odd years ago to Germany. And we're there. And we're not happy about it. But then God comes and he says to us, "I want you to be peaceful. I want you to have prosperity. I want you to do it for the city where you are, Berlin, wherever, to which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you prosper." And I know what you're saying in your heart, "No way." And that's what they said, but they did it. Perhaps I've said many upsetting things happen throughout the world at this very moment, and we've got to trust God that he allowed them to happen for a purpose. I don't know what it is. One day, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, another favorite of mine, "Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face..." Oh, that's not going to be marvelous. "Then we shall see him face to face. Now I know in part..." I'm not a clever person. I mean, I could never have done what Dorothy did this weekend. But what I do know is that one day I'm going to know why all these things happen to me, and you will know what's happened to you, and it's going to make sense, because he knew what the outcome would be. And we will know as we are known. I don't know about you, but I think we should be grateful to God. And lastly, there's just one thing I want to say. Jesus in Luke's gospel said this, and it's all to do with giving, and everybody seems to think it's money. No, it's not. It's giving anything, giving the use of things that you've got that nobody else has, giving things to people who can't go to places, giving what you have. And Jesus says this in chapter 6 of Luke, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. It will be poured into your lap, for with, and now this is the thing, for with the measure you and I give will be the measure that we will receive. Martha Washington, George Washington's wife, wrote this. I am determined to be cheerful and happy in whatever situation I may be. I've learned that the greater part of happiness or misery depends upon our dispositions and not upon our circumstances. Doesn't that sound like Paul? When he said, you know, I have learned to be content in any and every situation. Those words were from the UCB little booklet. But I end with this. If you want to be from surviving to thriving, make the most of where God has put you and me and placed us. I pray that God will bless us this morning and we'll go out of that door skipping. Well, you know, a little dance. Our last hymn